But, boy, I'm glad my name's on that list, and it's on that list because of Jesus Christ. And if your name's not on that list, he's going to call that list out soon. You better get on it. You better get on it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again to save sinners. And if you're here today, you're a sinner. You're either a lost sinner or a saved sinner. If you're a lost sinner, you better get saved. If you're a saved sinner, get right, because Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. It's in the New Testament there. Matthew chapter 15. Let's go to Genesis and take a hard right. Old joke, different books, all right. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at some things today about religion, religious folks. And we'll read down through here by the grace of God. And we'll start in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So here we see the religious crowd, and we see how they are and who they are and the way they believe and what how they act. And I talk to people a lot that say, well, I'm not very religious. So let me show you something about Jesus Christ. I'm not very religious. So I'm not either. I'm very saved. Amen. I'm very saved. The whole man set up a religion is a big trash heap. Amen. The Lord preached more against the religious crowd than he did the drunkards and the whoremongers. The drunkards and whoremongers knew they were wrong. Amen. It's the religious crowd that give him fits, and they refuse to accept the truth, and that's the way it is today. I say religious crowd, who are you talking about? Well, anybody doesn't believe the truth. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Southern Baptists, half the Independent Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Lutherans, go on down the line. The people that are religious and they're following traditions of man. And when you leave the Word of God, you've got nothing left but the tradition of man. And the tradition of man's often wrong. More often than not, I believe. I'm going to look at about seven things as we go down through here today. And the first thing in verses 1 and 2, it says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. First thing I want to talk about is the focus of the Pharisees. The focus of the Pharisees was always on something outward. The focus of the Pharisees was always on something carnal and fleshly. And you know, Jesus Christ came, and he's preaching all these great spiritual truths, and they're coming along telling them they're wrong, they're whited sepulchers, they're full of dead men's bones, they're calling them serpents, oh, you generation of vipers, and all these things. And what about your disciples? They don't wash their hands. Isn't that funny? You say, well, that seems really humorous. I kind of get a kick out every time I read that, thinking the religious crowd is so worried about whether or not somebody's taking care of the outside, and they give no regard to the inside. Somebody got the second gift. No, I'm just kidding. That was the kid screaming down there. Anyway, their religious crowd is so worried about the outside that they're not even focused or haven't paid very little attention, if any, to the inside. And that's what they're doing down there when they're talking to Jesus Christ. They're always trying to catch him on something. So they get him on a tradition of man. They can't get him on the law. I mean, he's the lawgiver. He's the lawmaker. He's the law keeper. Amen. They can't get him on that. They can't say, well, you know, look, you're guilty here, 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 and here. So they can say, okay, well, why are your disciples? Why don't they wash their hands when they eat? Now, that does kind of annoy me when you go in Walmart and somebody jots in and out of there and they don't wash their hands, and then they're over there flipping through the lettuce that I'm going to try to avoid now, amen? Especially if it's a worker with one of them blue carts running around there picking up stuff, and they, you know, in there sneezing, blowing their nose, and come out of the, and they just blow past the, you know, they're worried about their hair as they do the flyby by the mirror, but they don't stop and wash their hands. That does bother me on a physical level. But here the Pharisees are all caught up in, why didn't your disciples wash their hands when they eat? Because we wash our hands. We might have problems, but we wash our hands when we eat. Well, Emily Post applauds you, amen. Praise the Lord, you've got etiquette. But they were lost. They were on their way to hell. Yeah, but that's what the religious crowd does. They focus on a lot of carnal stuff, a lot of fleshly stuff, a lot of the outward appearance. They were very meticulous outwardly. They wanted to come across as right and clean to the world. But Jesus Christ isn't looking at them whether they're washing their hands. You know, I think you ought to wash your hands. I don't think you need somebody telling you how long to do it or where to do it or what kind of sanitizer to use or what the shot to get or what not to get. I don't think you ought to need somebody to tell you that. I think you ought to wash your hands, amen. But you better make sure you got a clean heart. Amen. You know the problem with our heart is Jesus Christ comes in and he cleans us up totally. We are saved, we are sealed, we are sanctified, we're set apart for that purpose, and we are ready. Boy, when you first get saved, you're ready to go, man. You're ready to take this book out, and you know, everybody's going to get saved. And then the world kind of creeps in. We've got to get our heart clean over and over and over again. And you know, you can put on your Sunday best, amen. You can go to Sunday school and church, and I was talking to a fellow at the gas pump the other day. He said he was saved. And I said, praise the Lord, he's probably saved. I go to church 6.5 hours on Sunday. I'm like, good night, man. My folks, they would, no way they put up with me for 6.5 hours. Amen. I can't even put up with me for 6.5 hours. But he said, I do this, I do that, and other with small groups and all this stuff, and all this stuff about being in church, you know. You can do all that stuff, and you can get all cleaned up on the outside. You can put your time in, amen. You can make sure you don't leave 1 minute early. You get here 2 minutes. Or 2 minutes early, don't leave 1 minute early, stay 5 minutes late. And you can go to, you know, every Bible study there ever is, and I'm not against good Bible studies, and you can do all that stuff and be lost as a golf ball in high weeds. You can do all that stuff and be so far out of God's will that God's like, I don't even know who you are for sure. I know you're saved, but you're not the person I saw 2 weeks ago, amen. It's not about what you do only. It's about what's on the inside. So we can come to church and we can sing the song. I like singing the hymnal songs, don't you? It's just a beautiful thing to get together with believers and sing about Jesus Christ. You don't realize how big the dumpster is out there until you really get in something that's clean. I mean, you get wore down and wore out, and you come in here, and we start singing, oh, how I love Jesus, or nothing but the blood, and the B-I-B-L-E, you know, and the smiling faces and the beautiful voices and everything, and just lifting up praise to the heavens, and just a wonderful thing. But you can fake that sometimes. You can fake that. Now, as a group, it's beautiful because there ain't a lot of people faking it. Honestly, everybody comes in here sometimes and has to fake it. And the problem is we want to get to church before we get clean, and then get clean, amen? You get clean every day. You get clean on your way to church. You can pray about it. You know, you can pray about it in the morning, get up and pray, Lord, I'm kind of a mess. You just do what I do on Sunday morning. Amen. Lord, I'm a mess. Ain't nothing good going to happen unless you show up. Help me. Help us. Bless the service today. Breathe on it. Even if I'm a mess, breathe on the message. You know, how hard would it be to say, even if I'm a mess, breathe on me today and help me out in a few? Amen. But the religious crowd is so worried about their appearance, you know, the fine hair and happy preaching, the best you can be, sir, and all these outward adornings. And a lot of folks can come across as being really spiritual, and they're just wicked as the devil on the inside. Just wicked as the devil. That's why we got to be careful. Now, I don't, you know, how do you think that somebody could not ever preach the truth or the full counsel of God and fill up a football stadium-sized church? Because the outward appearance is good. But God's looking on the heart. God's looking on the heart. Now, I don't know. There's probably a lot of folks out there, a lot of these preachers out there better than I am. They don't have to get on their knees and say, Lord, help me, I'm a mess on a daily basis, twice on Sunday. Kind of wonder, does that happen? I mean, how could you get on your face and say, Lord, help me, and go in there and say, I don't want to tell anybody about sin? And tell everybody how to look good, how to impress each other. And we should, you know, dress for Jesus Christ. Some, you know, I'm not talking about specifics. I'm talking about modest apparel for men and women. I'm talking about, Lord, do you approve of this? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the preacher putting out a pamphlet that says, "What you know, we're getting Amish clothing or any of that." I'm just talking about, you ought to, the Lord ought to be happy with your outside. But he's more concerned with the inside. So the focus of the Pharisees was on the outward things and the carnal things. And a matter of fact, that's what they attacked Jesus on. Why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? That's just terrible. And then 3-6. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Ouch. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, here's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. We see the false forgiveness. You know what the false forgiveness is? God gave them commandments. These are the people that are coming to Jesus Christ complaining about people not washing their hands. God gave them a commandment. And they were saying, well, if they're giving us gifts, we can let it go. Isn't that what religion is? You can buy your way out of sin. You can pay your way out of sin. You can do this, that, or the other, and the church will allow you to have forgiveness of sin. When really, it's between you and Jesus Christ. I mean, it's between you and God. But that's what they're doing here. They had, in spite of the commandment of God, made up their own tradition. And that's what's going on in the world today. In spite of the commandments of God, they made up their own tradition. That's why you have so many different belief systems. But that's where they're at. The focus of the Pharisees, that false forgiveness. Wouldn't it just almost send a chill down your spine? When he says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Good night. You don't want to debate the Lord. He won before this thing got started. The focus of the Pharisees, the false forgiveness. Look at 7 and 8. Ye hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We see the fake relationship. I'm not asking whether you're lost or saved. I'm asking whether you have a fake relationship after salvation. I mean, you can walk the walk, you can talk the talk, but are you living it? And in your heart, there we go again. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he hit the Pharisees all the time telling them, look, it's what's in your heart. If you're angry with your brother in your heart, if you look upon a woman in lust in your heart, I mean, he went down the line of the heart. Just because they weren't doing, physically doing these things, didn't mean they weren't guilty of them. You don't murder because... you don't become a murderer because you murder. You murder because you're a murderer. If you got it in your heart, it's going to come out. You know? These serial killers and all that stuff, they didn't become murderers at the time they started murdering. They were murderers in their heart, and then they started showing it outwardly. You know what happens with us if we're not careful? Our heart will start getting messed up. It'll get a little bit messed up, a little bit messed up, a little bit worse, and gradually, and then the next thing you know, we're living like the devil. How did I get here? You ever thought that? You don't have to raise your hand or shake your head. You can shake your head if you want. You ever thought that? How did I get this far off base? How in the world could I do? How could I go through all the motions and be wrong? Because your heart. You see, when you approach the Bible, you say, well, I read the Bible every day. That's fine, but do you let it read you every day and accept it? That's the difference. I mean, I believe the devil reads the Bible every day. I think he gets down beside believers and reads it with them a lot of times. But are you reading it because you want something from God? If you go to the Bible with the right heart, the Bible's going to help you. And I'm saying not being perfect, sinless. I'm saying, Lord, I need help. And here I come, and I know that your word will help me. Help me. But that fake relationship, a lot of religious folks out there, they can go through the motions, they can dress the dress, walk the walk, talk the talk, lost as lost could be. Some of them are saved and living like the devil, and you know, they get caught up in the love of money. We skipped this morning when we were talking about the Bible version issue. They take that out of some of the Bible version. The love of money is the root of all evil. Some of them change it to the love of money is the cause of some evil or something like that. It's paraphrased. The Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it says. And when you look at the evil out there, what's it always connected to? Money. What's money always connected to? Pride. Amen. It all ends up with pride. The devil's the father of that mess. So the focus of the Pharisees, the false forgiveness, the fake relationship, and in 9 through 11 it says, but in vain do they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. The fruitless rituals. They're going through these rituals and they're doing these things. In vain, he says, do they worship me. In vain they do. In vain they go, well, you got to get baptized and you got to do this. You got to have your beads. You got to have your Baptist membership. You got to have your Lutheran transubstantiation or close to it, Lord's Supper. You got to have the Mass. You got to have a little phone booth where you can talk to a sinner and that sinner can get your sins forgiven. You got to do something for the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church. You got to be faithful to put your tithe in the plate. You have to do all these. It's just vain tradition. It's vain tradition. There's nothing wrong. Some of these things, there's nothing wrong with them. You're doing for the right reason. Amen. But when they hand you some line about you got to have these beads, you got to do this so many times and that, hocus pocus, all this stuff, or you got to be dunked in our water, says the Church of Christ or some of the Baptists. If it's not, and I agree, you should be biblically baptized. But if you were biblically baptized somewhere else, you don't have to be biblically baptized again because it's the Baptist instead of the other. Is it biblical or is it Baptist? Are the Baptists biblical on some things? Amen. If you're baptized and it's a biblical baptism, it doesn't matter who did it. If you're saved, you get baptized because you're saved, not to get saved. And it's immersion baptism, not flicking, sprinkling, dinking, whatever. You're baptized. Amen? How traditional would it be for me to go, well, we can't accept the Second Baptist Church baptism. You have to be baptized in our water. Amen? And then when you get baptized in our water, you become part of our body. That's what some people believe. They believe you're born again, but you become part of their body, the body, the local body, when you get in their water. And they call themselves Baptist. And the true Baptists put more or less merit in baptism than most anybody else does. You don't have to get baptized to go to heaven. You should be baptized because you're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. I think it's the first step of obedience. I think you'll be blessed for doing it, but you don't get to heaven by doing it. the fruitless rituals. Well, if you'll just do this, do that. Well, I'll tell you, when you've got a group of folks out there, and when your loved ones pass on and they want you to pay and pray and pay a priest or pay a preacher or talk to somebody about, how to get them out of purgatory, that's a money scam. That's a money scam. Let me tell you how I know that. I got a Bible. You know where people go? If they're saved, they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Like, faster than that, they're in heaven. They don't go to the waiting area like at the dentist, amen? Wait to get your teeth drilled and, whatever. They don't do that. They don't sit around there and wait for,
number 67, please.
They don't wait for that. You're saved, you're going to heaven. Matter of fact, you're already spiritually there. So why would God say you're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now, seated with Him in heavenly places right now, but you've got to go to some kind of holding area and wait to get to heaven later? Doesn't make sense. Makes dollars, though. Amen. They're fruitless rituals. Look at 12 and 13. Then came His disciples and said unto Him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But He answered and said, Every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. See their future destruction. These religious folks that are just religious and going through tradition, they're going to be plucked up. They're going to be judged. They're headed for eternal damnation. And they're headed for eternal destruction. Isn't that something, though? His disciples walk with Him, talk with Him. They've heard Him call the Pharisees out. And the Pharisees all over and over and over again trying to hang something on Jesus Christ that they couldn't. And knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? So what? So what? The Pharisees should be offended. Amen. I offend them all the time. I'm an equal opportunity offender. I offend me sometimes. Amen. Amen. But I offend the Pharisees. You know what I found out, though? The Lord does amazing things. Even if the Pharisees are offended, I had my wife tell you this happened the other day. It was an amazing thing. I couldn't believe. I was astonished. I know God can do all things. Men is impossible, but not with God. For God, all things are possible. I understand that. I believe the Bible. But sometimes I see some things that I just can't hardly believe. We're in a store, and this woman turned a corner by herself. She's got the hijab thing and all the stuff and this little rectangle window. And I'm out of tracks. I said, my wife's carrying tracks. And I was like, I'm out of tracks. And she goes, okay. So she gives me a track. She's walking down that aisle. I go around the other aisle and meet this woman halfway down the aisle. I said, hey, let me give you something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she goes, what? And I said, Jesus Christ. You ever heard of Jesus Christ? She said, I don't think so. And I said, well, this tells you about God and how to get to heaven. She took it. And I said, read that, and you'll know how to get to heaven. And she said, thank you. I said, God bless. What I mean when I say that is God get all over her and get her saved. And she said, God bless you too. I thought, wow, that's something. We get to the other side of the store. There's another one just like her but a little bigger. That's how I know it wasn't the same one because all they got is a window, right? That's how I told them apart. And she's got three kids with her. She has three children with her. She got three kids with her from down south. And I said, oh, I'm out of tracks again. And Lori says, here's track. So I go down there. By this time, she's juggling canned goods, headed back to the cart. And I said, let me give you something about Jesus Christ. And she's like, I got my hands full. She goes, no. I said, okay. I said, but just to tell you how to get to heaven, tell you about the Lord. And I start to walk off. She goes, no, stop, wait. Come back. And So I went back, and she hollered at one of her little girls. She said, come here. And the little girl goes, what is that? I said, it's a piece of paper. It tells you about Jesus, the most popular man ever lived. It tells you how to get to heaven. And she goes, thank you. And she took it. And I said, read that. God bless you all. And the woman with the little window said, God bless you too. Two in a row. Can you believe that? I thought it was going to be a 0% success rate. And God just worked it out. Isn't that amazing? Then I thought, the devil gets in there and he's like, yeah, they'll probably take that home and their husband probably beat them for having it. And I thought, well, they're headed to hell. They just got the truth. And one of them said they'd never heard it before. Isn't that amazing how God works that stuff out? You know, we think they're going to Indiana Jones us or something when you walk up to them. You know, whop this big sword out or whop this gun out and chop your head off or shoot you and start Allah Akbar or something. You know, they just took it and said, God bless you. Man. Never know what the Lord's going to do. But the religious crowd is headed for a future destruction. And the reason I brought that last thing up is they're religious. I mean, they're more religious than you could ever imagine. Most of them are willing to die for a false religion. And most believers aren't even willing to live for Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. We see the faulty leadership. You know what the faulty leadership is? Well, it's not about what God said. It's about what we do in the church. It's about what we've always done. It's about what Grandma always believed. It's about what Aunt Agnes always taught us. It's about, and usually when you're talking to people about tradition in their family, they usually point back to a woman because the men weren't being men anyway and the women were trying to pick up the slack. Amen. And well, Aunt Agnes said this, that, or the other, or Grandma said this, or Mama said that, or Mama. And I use that a lot when I'm talking to African-American folks, if you want to be, I don't know what you want to be, darker skin, but I said, I bet you had a grandma or an aunt or a mama or a grandma or an aunt, probably a bunch of them praying for you. And they go, well, I see no way they're doing that because they don't want you to burn in hell. And I don't either. And I'll take that. You know what? Here's a white man telling the same thing Grandma told him. You're going to burn in hell, boy. You're going to burn in hell. And you don't think they'll tell them that? I guarantee you they'll tell them that. They'll tell them after they're saved. The way you live and you're going to burn in hell anyway. Of course, we know that's not true. But what an amazing thing. But faulty leadership is a mess. I don't believe everything rises and falls on good leadership. Because the best leadership in the world is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and His Word. And we're a mess. A lot of times we're a big mess. But I do believe this, bad leadership leads to bad results. Whether it's in the church house, schoolhouse, the White House, or your house. Amen. Bad leadership leads to bad results. The faulty leadership. We've seen the focus of the Pharisees, the false forgiveness, the fake relationship, the fruitless rituals, the future destruction of those fruitless individuals, the faulty leadership. And now we get to verse 15 through 20. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defiles not a man. We see the fact from the Lord. You know what the fact from the Lord is? It's the heart. It's the heart. Look back up at verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So how could that be, preacher? How in the world could somebody be blood-bought, born again, smoking crack, down at the whorehouse, drinking booze, spending their nights at the bar, spending their Sunday mornings and their Sunday afternoons watching football, never read the Bible, because they have a heart problem. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they've got a heart problem. So Jesus Christ is a great physician. Everybody says that, and we believe it. Do you really believe it? You know what he'll do? He'll give you a heart transplant. I mean, he'll fix your heart like ain't no doctor can fix it. Amen. Mine's under warranty forever. He's going to completely fix it at the rapture. But he does repair it every now and again on this earth. Amen. The great physician. But the fact from the Lord is it's a heart problem. Verse number 8 really nails us all down a lot of times. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You get down there and he says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. There you are on the speedway. Somebody cut you off. You hadn't read your Bible for a few days. Amen. You just come out of the line at Walmart for 4 hours, where your little girl at the register was trying to figure out how to get your stuff to ring up right. And you go to McDonald's and you wait for 27 minutes for fast food, and then you get cut off on the highway. And the next thing you know, you're thinking the same thing the guy that's lost to you was thinking when he got cut off. Amen. It's not that you're not saved, that you've got a heart problem. Got a heart problem. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. Oh man, I got to Meijer and got in there and I got my groceries rung up and the Lord gave me a $20 bill just hanging out of the machine. That's theft. Hey man, you didn't put the debit thing in there and say I want $20. Somebody else did and they lost it. I've been on the wrong end of that thing. I left 15 bucks at Kroger's once several years ago. I'll never forget that. I went back after it and somebody else done bought beer with it or something probably. But you get that 20 and you're like, oh, the Lord just blessed me. And you go out and get in your car and the Lord's like, that wasn't for me. And you're like, no, Lord, it was. I promise you. Amen. Okay, so you take it back in because God loves a cheerful giver. And since the Lord gave it to you, you're going to give it to somebody else, right? And you're like, I'm going to drop it. And then you're like, I hope they tell me I can keep it. And then it's really mine. And they go, well, thank you. We'll give it to customer service. And you're like, oh, Lord, but you gave it to me. That's theft. You just wanted to stick it in your pocket and go on. It wasn't yours. You didn't earn it. Well, I don't play the lottery. That was even better. I didn't have to do anything wicked to get it. Oh, no, but carrying it out and pretending like it was yours is wicked. Amen. You ever thought about that? I hate to ask these questions because everybody's shaking their head. And I'm like, I should be shaking mine too. Because you do. I mean, you get to the end of the month, you got no money, and the next thing you know, the Lord give me $25 sitting in Walmart's cash register, and you know, just as good as you're walking out of that store, just as well as you're walking out of that store, somebody needed that more than you, and you're going to try to take that. And you give that back and do the right thing, and the Lord's going to take care of you anyway. Right? Say, what's the problem? I don't go to this church, that church, or the other. I don't go by the tradition of man. Well, it's tradition of man to say, the Lord give me that. Amen. It's not Bible. It's not Bible. It's a heart problem. The focus of the Pharisees is on the flesh and the outward appearance. That false forgiveness. Hey, I don't want to know all your dirty laundry, but if you got some and you ever need to talk or something, not about dirty laundry, you got a problem, I'd be glad to try to help you out. Best I can, point you to the scripture. You know, but I ain't turning my collar around. I ain't going to give you no beads to flip. I ain't going to charge you 15 bucks, have you put something in the plate. I'm going to tell you, you need to get on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to between you and him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about your relationship with him. The false forgiveness comes through the tradition of man. That fake relationship, the outward appearance, I'm doing pretty good outwardly, and you know your heart's not right when it's not right. The fruitless rituals, going through all those things, and you know, the future destruction. Isn't it sad that there's so much religion set up out there and they go through the detailed attempt to enforce their traditions of men and they'll burn in hell if they don't trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Isn't that something? Isn't that terrible? Isn't it tragic? You know what else is tragic? When you're saved and you don't really appreciate it. You don't really appreciate it. That's tragic. In a way, it's more tragic because we know better. The faulty leadership. God won't lead you wrong. The Holy Spirit won't lead you wrong. If you're seeking truth in His Word and pray about it, it won't lead you wrong. The fact from the Lord, the world's got a heart problem. Sometimes God's people just have a heart problem. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know the heart's deceitful and wicked, desperately wicked. according to Jeremiah. Who can know it? Lord, it's you that try the reins. You know. Lord, help us to have a clean heart. Help us to purposefully tell others about you with the right heart. We see people get saved. Maybe we'll get to heaven one day, Lord, and realize that you saved a lot of folks we didn't even see it. Lord, help us to have the right heart and to do what you called us to do till you call us home. Bless your word. Thank you for it. Bless each and every person here. Give them safe travels home. And again, we want to lift up those folks that are struggling. Oh, the physical issues. Brother Don, Brother Jerry, Brother Mac. On down the line, Lord. Guide the doctors. Lord, your will be done. Help us. Strengthen us. Come get us soon. In Jesus' name.